All right.
Okay. Yes. All right.
Yes.
Welcome to the podcast. That's right. Movie the podcast. It is continuing down this chain reaction year. And we are here to talk about Three Musketeers, not the candy bar. It doesn't show up once in this film. No. Not sure why that candy bar is named after those four fellas.
Let me just say though, real quick.
Yeah.
Quality candy bar. Like S tier candy bar.
You ever roast one over fire?
I can't co-sign an S tier candy bar. No, that's psychotic. How?
Have you ever roasted this beer over a fire? No.
You put it on a stick and you just put it on there.
Why would you do that? Wouldn't it just melt?
It just gets a little toasty.
It would melt. It would have to melt.
It brulees.
It brulees.
How am I the fattest one out of all of us? This motherfucker is roasting candy bars.
Because he's activating the thermal energy of the candy bar so he loses weight.
Yeah. Yeah. Burning
off. Do you mean eating it in like a s'more situation?
I've done it in a s'mores. I've done it straight up.
You mean just like sticking a fucking candy bar on top of a fire? What compelled you to do such a thing?
Science, curiosity.
Oh, fair, you know. I can't even think about a candy bar
in my backpack, which is somewhat colder than an actual fire.
It melts like crazy. Yeah,
I'll tell you, man.
I love that whatever that shit is in the middle, that like chocolate nougat or whatever.
It's like a chocolatey fluff. It's really
delicious. Bro, I can't sign off on any S tier candy that doesn't have any shit in it. It's like signing off on plain M&Ms.
The best M&M's.
It does have shit in it, but
it doesn't have like almonds or fucking coke. Like it's just, you know.
But it's got that stuffing in it. That's kind of the shit. Whatever that stuff is.
Where do you stand on the Almond Joy Mounds situation?
Almond Joy over Mounds all day long, twice on Sunday. Yeah. I don't even think that's a legitimate argument.
People shit on Almond Joy.
Yeah, but both of them can fuck right off compared to a Three Musketeers or a Milky Way.
Ooh, Milky Way is good. Yeah.
I think Milky Way is slept upon.
I'm not saying Three Musketeers is bad.
Back to your paradigm here, Sean. So what about a Butterfinger in your eyes? Is that a low-tier candy bar? Because that's just...
No. That's kind of crunchy. Okay.
Oh, yeah. I love Butterfinger.
This would be psychotic to, like, badmouth a Butterfinger.
Also, like, my love of Butterfinger is... It directly ties into The Simpsons because Bart used
it. Nobody should lay a finger on it. I also like Heath bars, so like I got weird candy taste.
What about a Zagnut?
I don't know if I've ever had a Zagnut.
A Zagnut is if you took a Fifth Avenue, took the chocolate off.
What's a Fifth Avenue?
A Fifth Avenue is like
$100,000 bar.
A Fifth Avenue is like the GoBot to the Butterfingers Transformer. But I like a Fifth Avenue. And you took the chocolate off of it. It's a softer peanut butter crunchy middle. And then you replaced it with toasted coconut. Shout out to Zagnut.
Nope.
It's a wild.
I'm only familiar with Zagnut as a prop in Beetlejuice.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, we watched Three Musketeers 2 weeks ago, but we didn't have a show last week because I was in like a THC hole, and I don't like it was
Jesus
pretty bad.
Christ.
Alec tried to kill me with weed. But it's okay. He didn't.
Yeah, the first person ever to OD on.
I'm a big baby. I just, normally,
Bob Dylan.
Normally, I would blame not watching the movie last week on the Super Bowl, but I watched neither.
Right. Hey.
I did not watch a single second of that Super Bowl, and it's not like a hipster thing. I had less than zero interest.
Yeah, I don't think you really missed anything. But yeah, we watched the Disney family classic, The Three Musketeers, and we will get into that momentarily. But before we do, what did y'all watch this week? I'm going to start it with a guy that never starts off. Goggs.
Yo.
Can we do Alec instead?
Oh,
all right. I'm kidding. No, go ahead, Goggs.
I watched... four things that I can recall. I think I probably watched more. I wasn't here for Flatliners. Also, I did watch Flatliners. It's like a six. There you go. I watched The Batman, a movie that's really good until the very end, and then it kind of falls apart.
Kind of how I felt about it.
I think Pattinson's an excellent Batman and not a great Bruce Wayne, but maybe that was the point on my second viewing. Like, he's still learning how to be Bruce Wayne, because that's like, he really is Batman, and his alter ego is Bruce Wayne, right? I watched most of Civil War. I have like 20 minutes left. I don't hate it. I don't know if I like it. It's also hitting way too close to home right now. So we'll see how that feels towards the end of it.
Wait till you see when Rhodey gets quadriplegized by Vision. Jesus Christ.
Oh.
Yeah, I was gonna ask.
You've seen Civil War before. Yeah.
I've seen Ken Burns' Civil War.
You're talking about Alex Garland's
Civil War. Alex Garland.
Oh, I thought you were talking about... Okay, I was probably talking about... yeah.
I saw Civil War. I saw Marvel Civil War.
I think I saw it with you.
Yeah, and I've seen Ken Burns' Civil War a lot. Yeah. Shout out, Ken Burns.
Ken Burns.
Captain America's Civil War came out fucking 10 years ago. Can you fucking believe that?
Yeah.
No,
Alex Garland's Civil War is not great.
Yeah, that's fucking insane.
But
Sean?
I said that movie's not great. I stand on that still. The Alex Garland one, not the Marvel one.
It's interesting.
You didn't like the Marvel one either.
It's okay. It's the weakest of the Cap films I've seen, but it's not really a Captain America movie. Well, I guess.
Just wait. Just wait.
Oh. I'm not going to watch that new one. I don't give a shit.
Well, that's the other thing I watched. I watched Brave New World.
Yeah.
Speaking of Brave, it was brave to put this out because this movie's not particularly good. It's a mess.
Well, they've reshot it like entirely, apparently, like three different times. So I'm not surprised. Oh,
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. There's like, it's not Mackie's fault. And I think Indiana Jones is really trying. Tim Blake Nelson, as it turns out, it's the leader. A waste of Tim Blake Nelson. The plot is nonsensical. Like, it doesn't need to be.
Alex will probably remember. Wasn't Tim Blake Nelson the leader in another movie? Wasn't he in the
he was in Ed the
Norton Hulk movie?
Norton
one,
but he didn't he got like hit with his head got ray bigger. Or something towards the end of the movie. Yeah. They didn't show him as the leader.
Yeah, this movie being like a direct sequel to that movie is wild, since that movie was 20 years old at this point.
Yeah.
It's cool watching, like, there's a new Falcon.
There's a new Falcon. There's a new
Falcon. And his whole personality is Miami based. And it is fine.
I mean, there are worse places to have a personality based on.
You know what?
Like Essex.
And they bring back another an older new Captain Falcon's American
personality based on Dundalk.
You know, based on a hot dog?
That Rofo right there on the corner of Ponca and Boston is really good.
Oh, we stop fighting and have a pit beef. So now am I the only one that saw? I thought you saw it. You didn't see it.
No, I had like
you're using TJ for an 8 again.
Oh, yeah. Classic goof 'em up.
I'm going to see it Friday.
It's a wait till I can get it on the Plex type movie for me. I'm gonna watch it, but I don't really
I'm probably the least. I just kind of feel like anymore it's like the fucking D and Dennis, like, I don't care, like, shit, I don't care either. Like, it's just like, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. It was, they bring back one of these, like, interstitial Captain Americas.
And, like,
I guess the Korean era Captain America. Like,
it kind of,
they bring back, like,
Isaiah Bradley.
Isaiah Bradley.
Isaiah Washington, I think, is an actor that called that other actor a homo on Grey's Anatomy or something.
Yeah, a lot of times, apparently.
Yeah, and more than that. I don't know, like, I'm kind of bummed that, like, maybe this is a bad take, but
they, you know, you've got your shot with the Black Captain America and you waste it on what sounds like a very milquetoast, like, eh, let's just push it out kind of movie. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like that kind of damages the idea of everybody's going to be like, oh, well, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, the kind of underlying and sometimes overt racism that comes along with that.
Yeah, it's not really pushing. It's not very, it's a political. Very, like, let's, it's very, let's come together and see past our differences. And
incremental
not,
like, change.
Yeah, not a message. That's certainly not a message that I want to hear nowadays.
It was a real Amy Klobuchar situation.
Oh, my God.
Yuck. So there's that. So go see it at your leisure. The Stinger, I don't know what it means. Also, I guess, and maybe this is known, it was in the sneak peek I watched with my son prior to, like, the whole thing is that, I guess, in the brains of that Celestial, they've discovered vibranium now. So
who could ever remember
adamantium?
They already have vibranium. So now we are paving the way for adamantium based superheroes, or the one that I know about.
I wonder what
the two that I know about.
Can't wait for that Crimson Dynamo movie, or not? Yeah.
Lady Deathstrike.
Omega Red.
Yeah. Wow, you pulled Crimson Dynamo before Omega Red. That's impressive. Yeah.
Alex deep into, like, fucking, what is it, like, now Len Wein, who's writing Iron Man then, like, the demon in a box, Howard Matthews?
I don't remember, but very good. Also, remember there was, like, a Russian superhero team for a little while, I think it was called the Red Guard, and it had Omega Red and Crimson Dynamo, and
but they were all, it was basically like David Harbour. They were all villains.
The Red Guardian. Russia.
Did you guys see the Accountant 2 trailer?
The Accountant 2 trailer was there. It looks real good. It's like a brother comedy, though. Like, it's a weird tone. It looks like it's trying to set.
House Party?
Yeah. No, like did they introduce Bernthal as his brother, like, in the first movie?
Yes.
Yeah.
Didn't you watch it?
Yeah, I don't recall that part. Like,
it was like a huge part of the
movie. It was like half of the movie.
He's in the whole movie, and at the very end, they show. You need to watch The Accountant again, bro. That movie. That movie slaps.
It's
like
a major part of the
time. All right, well, I'll go back.
Major plot point in the film.
My goodness,
that's wild. Dude.
Turns out John Bernthal's in this one too. So surprise.
In the trailer, he was acting kind of retarded. That's weird, isn't it?
What's that? Why is Ben Affleck so aloof?
Oh my god, that's so.
Well, funny. Anywho, also they're making a How to Train Your Dragon live action movie for no reason, because
that's about ready to, like, come out, isn't it? Or
yeah, no one's asking for this.
Yeah,
I'm so tired of this. Like, hey, let's take everything animated, make it live action. Now it's like,
they're out of ideas. Like, Rami Malek is like an accidental assassin in this other movie. It's just,
you know, that movie looks kind of interesting. I saw that trailer. I was
mature.
Like,
mature? No.
I don't know if I shared it with you, but I sent it to TJ. Somebody put it up as, like, a joke tweet, but it's actually, I think, a really good idea. It's like the CIA trying to kill Clark Kent, not because they think he's Superman, but just because he's a good journalist. Like, and they can't figure out why they can't kill him.
But yeah, they make it like a goofy comedy. Like, everything they do just doesn't work.
Like a fucking Stalin is dead kind of thing.
That's
Stalin. It's a stellar idea. That's a really
good idea. Yeah, it is.
And then the last thing I watched was The Substance. That movie is wet and gross. And it's another movie where I really enjoyed it until it kind of, like, by the third act, I got it. And then it just keeps hammering you over.
Like, do you get it? Is it one of those?
It just, like, beats you over the head with, and it gets real goofy.
But, like, here's the thing. I felt the same way, right? I've watched it three times now. Cause I said on the show that, like, I agreed with you. I felt like there's one sequence in particular that happens, like, towards the end that I really hated. But overall, I think that it ramping itself up to be so incredibly silly kind of works. Like, I think, like, it's because the whole movie is, like, super over the top and not subtle, right? Like, the entire
it's hyper reality, and it's, like, really interesting the way it's, like, I was texting you, like, the way it's done, where you don't really know when it takes place because there's cell phones, but there's old cars, and there's landlines, and there's two TVs. And that goes with the whole thing about
the biggest show in the world is like a fucking New Year's Eve show.
It's a fitness show, right?
Yeah.
Which plays to that theme of like you being time displaced yourself. Like you want to go back.
Sounds like
back
fucking Videodrome.
It kind of is in a weird way. Okay. But I think the comedy at the end of it kind of works. I don't know. Like I said, I didn't feel that way the first time I watched it, and now I'm like, nah, I think I get what they were going for. It's
super gross. It is so wet.
I mean, she pukes out a tit at the end of the movie, which is great.
Yeah, it's fucking
just
weird.
Like real women, wet and gross.
Agreed. Amen, brother.
I think to paraphrase TJ, give me a smooth, sturdy penis any day.
Can't beat it. Hard to mess up.
Can beat it. Have.
You can't beat it. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But that is everything I watch, Sean.
Oh, my God. I watch some stuff.
Wow. Everybody's watching stuff.
I started to watch Warriors in the Walled City, but I was like more in a vibes mood and not in a like grit my teeth and shit my pants mood. Maybe the first 5 minutes, first of all, there's subtitles on every part of the screen, which is like, okay, like is cool, but it's like, I'm dying already. Like I'm fighting for my life. Within 10 seconds, there's a bar fight where somebody throws a bottle on the ground and uppercuts the ground to get the glass on their head, continue punching. I'm like, I gotta come back to this. Like I'm not in that space right now.
I had the same experience. I've only watched about 10 minutes of it. I was like, this is amazing, but I'm too overstimulated right now. I need to come back to this.
It's too intense. I need to watch it in like a fucking inflatable bubble to like punch myself to death. So I started watching this anime Sakamoto Days.
Hell yeah.
Which is a lot of fun. The premise is kind of like John Wick-ish. But he is hitman, the greatest hitman in the world. He meets a woman, gets married.
He opens
up a convenience store because she doesn't like him being a hitman. He gets all fat. And I'll get back to the show. But in one of the episodes, somebody was using Tai Chi. And I was like, I know, I'll watch Man of Tai Chi because that movie rules.
I love that movie.
Just to clarify, that movie still fucking rules. I don't know why Keanu Reeves hasn't directed another movie since then. Because not only does that movie kick a pile of ass, Tai Chi, that's interesting. The choreography is really good. I really solid classic martial arts movie that I don't know if it's in kind of the current martial arts canon.
I never hear anyone talk about it.
I think Gonz and I almost shit in each other's pants when we watched it at his house because that movie is so good. Anyway, back to the other thing. It's kind of like, are you guys at least somewhat familiar with No More Heroes?
Yeah. I know Gogs is.
Yeah. Okay. So you know how like it's like there's a League of Assassins and everyone has some kind of wacky specialty?
Yeah, they're doing the thing from What's His Name versus Everybody.
Yes. What's His Name versus Everybody?
Are you talking about Scott Pilgrim?
Versus the world.
If you want to get even nerdier, it's the Tokyo Drifter / Branded to Kill kind of thing. That's an old Japanese movie that had the same idea.
So all these hitmen come try to kill him, like, and then he ends up sort of adopting a couple of them that are young. Like one's a clairvoyant, one's a girl that's in the Chinese mafia. It's really sweet and it's really funny, but it's very like hard boiled. There's one guy whose name is just Boiled because he wants to be the most hard boiled. He's like, like, you're pretty hard boiled. There's a part that's just like Silent Hill 2. It's a ton of fun. Like it's a very easy show to watch. I think there's like 6 episodes on Netflix and I watched all of them.
Oh, what's hell yeah. Sakamoto Days
on Netflix. Okay. Yeah, but strong recommend that. Man of Tai Chi is one of my favorite martial arts movies. I fucking love it. Keanu Reeves should play a bad guy in more things. He's kind of doing a little, he's like kind of bad, kind of a scumbag in The Neon Demon, and then he's a bad guy in this. And maybe that's it.
But he's kind of a piece of shit in that terrible Eli Roth movie I don't like. Like that's kind of the point of that movie is he's like a piece of shit, but it's written so poorly, like it doesn't really work.
Yeah. You owe me a life. Shout out.
You do get to see what's her name? Joy very, very naked in that movie. It's the only thing redeemable about it.
Nice.
Anna de Armas.
The first 5 minutes of Warriors in the Walled City, which I assume I will also really like the rest of it.
I'm gonna watch it this weekend. So if you watch it too, we can talk about it together.
I'm gonna love it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like there's no chance I won't, because it's like, you know, it was a Taiwan 1987, but the neon sign says San Francisco. I'm like, I'm already in.
Yeah.
Oh, like aesthetically, I'm in. Like the fucking scraping the ground to get the glass in your fist, I'm in. It's just like, I need to dedicate time to watching this. Like I can't be doing other shit. TJ.
That's me. I watched three things. Just real quick, a movie that we've brought up on the show a bunch of times. I watched I Love You Man again. That movie really holds up and is very good. Very funny. Speaking of funny, I watched the new Stavros Haukias film, Let's Start a Cult.
Oh wow, I almost put that on today.
You should watch it. I think everybody should watch it.
CM Punk?
Yeah, CM Punk is like a cameo role, but he's very funny in it.
He's like listed first. I saw it on Hulu.
Nah,
he's listed before Stavros on Hulu.
Nah, he's like a very minor role, but he is very funny in his role.
I think you should leave fans. This is what I assume you're about to
that
say.
That is exactly what I was trying to say. if you like the sketch where he's talking about he used to be a piece of shit, the actress that plays the mother of the baby is one of the cult members in this movie. Nice. But anyway, I have to say, I really enjoyed this movie. It is a low stakes, dumb, low budget comedy. It reminded me of like Grandma's Boy, like that kind of, like, you know, we talk about how they don't really make those kinds of movies anymore.
Yeah.
Well, they made one.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it is. Like, is it the greatest thing you'll ever see? No, but it's dumb and it has like fun, like stupid jokes. And there's a scene where Stavros gets jerked off by like this muscle woman. And I was crying because it was just so funny, because you actually see on the screen, you don't see her jerk off, but you see her, like, he's standing there naked and you see what she's doing and it cuts to it real fast. It's very funny. I thought it was good. I enjoyed it. I listened to an interview with Stav about it, and he said that there's nothing funnier than confident dumb guy comedy, and that's what this is, like confident dumb guy, and it's pretty good. I thought it was very funny. The movie itself takes place in the early 2000s, and that's very appropriate because that's exactly what this movie feels like. This feels like a movie that you would have bought on DVD on sale at Best Buy. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Again, it's got a very like Happy Madison kind of vibe. A fun movie. I'd recommend it. And then lastly, I watched, this is a little disappointing, I watched a very early Denis Villeneuve film, or however you say his fucking name. I don't know how we've determined. What are you playing? The reflection on your glasses is killing me. What the fuck is that?
Oh, it's just Bloodlust. You're good. Keep going.
That was a good game. Didn't you buy me that? Thank you for that. It's fun.
I did. I'm a good person.
Game. You are a great guy. I'd say great.
Was it a pre-Incendies movie?
Yes, this came out in 2002. This came out before Polytechnic. It might be his first film.
But you didn't like Enemy, right? Because that's another movie of his you don't care for, right? Where'd he go?
Plug my mic. Can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does it sound okay? My mic came unplugged.
It does. It sounds good. Sounds better.
No, I liked Enemy. It took me a couple of rewatches to kind of get into it. I didn't like it at first, and then I kind of revisited it, and I realized I was stupid. This might happen with... So I watched Maelstrom, and so Maelstrom is a...
It's about that gang in Cyberpunk.
I wish. Dude, give me a Cyberpunk live action. My God. But no, Maelstrom is like a very strange film because like it's like an art house... Like, I think it's supposed to be a comedy, but I didn't really find it funny. Like, and it's weird because, like, I liked all the parts of this movie. I thought the acting was really well done. I really liked the lead actress a lot. I thought that it was shot well. I thought that, like, all the pieces were there. It's just the plot was just kind of dull. And
is it in French?
Yeah, that was my next question. Oh, yeah.
It's French Canadian at that.
France can't do comedies, but then there was Thank You for Smoking or whatever.
Or whatever. I'm glad you brought that up. I'm really glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
So this movie has a connection to Smoking Causes Coughing. And I want to say, possibly the fish talking in Smoking Causes Coughing. Maybe a reference to this fucking movie, because this whole movie is so the movie opens, right? And it's this fucking fish that's getting like, I don't, what do you call a fishery when you like gut fish or whatever?
Let's call it that for the purpose of this story.
I don't know.
I believe it's called Sakamoto Fish Concern.
That's a knife buzzy and gut come out. So the movie starts and there's a lot of water imagery in this movie and fish imagery. But anyway, so there's literally this weird, like dystopian, like fishery or whatever. And there's this nude man that's like hacking fish to bits. And right before this fish is about to get his head cut off, he's like, let me, in French, obviously, he's like, let me tell you a tale. And then he's the narrator of this fucking movie. It's never explained. It's just there.
Don't hate then, that.
Dude, it's so fucking weird. And like, I was like, when I saw it, I was like, is this like, that has to be a reference from Smoke is like the other way around. Cause Smoking Causes Coughing came out 2 years ago. That has to be a reference. There's no way that
maybe it's just like, it's like those fucking wood spirits in Japanese movie. Like if you're a French, you would get this reference.
Maybe fish is a thing.
Maybe, but anyway, so the fish tells the story, and the story, like, it's very strange, because, like, the movie starts out literally, like, you want to talk about a rough way to start a fucking movie? The main character gets an abortion. That is the opening fucking scene. She's in the fucking abortion clinic with the fucking tube, and it's like, oh my god. And then basically what happens is, like, the main character, like, she goes to just like terrible ordeal after terrible ordeal. She basically gets to a point where she gets really drunk one night and she drives home and she hits a guy with her car and kills the guy. But there's like no, like she has no like connecting fiber to the murder. So she essentially gets away with it, but she feels really guilty about it. And then like, I don't know. Then she like eventually like her conscience gets the best of her and she finds the obituary for the guy that she accidentally killed and then goes to pay respects to him and then falls in love with her son. And all this is supposed to be like, I read interview, like I was so lost. Like I know, like it's a lot of pretentious people like that watch art house movies. Like, well, you didn't get it. Well, I'll be the first one to say that I did not get this movie. I didn't understand what this movie was trying to say, because by the end of the movie, she like falls in love with the son of the man that she killed. And I guess like from what I read in interviews, like you get this from the movie, but like the concept of the movie is that like life and death is kind of just like a weird like thing of happenstance most of the time. But I don't understand why that's funny or compelling. And
it doesn't sound funny in the least. I'll be honest with you.
Well, you have to understand that like a lot of her decisions are like farcical. Like, it's, like, okay. Ridiculous. Like, there's a part in the movie where, like, so she meets the son of the guy that she killed, right? And, like, he obviously is, like, attracted to her. And he's like, hey, like, I'm out of town. I'm new in town, and I don't know anybody here. You want to get coffee? And she's like, no, not really. Like, because she's, like, freaked out because, you know, he doesn't know the truth or whatever. And then, like, he helps her, or she helps him, like, pack up his dad's belongings, and they kind of bond. And then like literally he's like, all right, well, I gotta go, I'm on the plane. She literally runs like fucking Sonic the Hedgehog. It cuts to her running on the tarmac to stop him from getting on the plane, and she's like, oh yeah, I just forgot to tell you, I want to have sex with you. And like that, like that's the kind of level this movie is. I didn't like it. I love Denis Villeneuve, but like I didn't get this movie at all.
Fish ever come back?
The fish comes back. Several fish get their heads cut off, and then they continue the story. But no, as to why the fish is narrating the story,
how could the fish have witnessed any of this?
Yeah, I have no idea. It's never explained.
Well, it's supposed to be a comedy. I think is like a kiss of death. It's like, okay, obviously, like it's not even you know, able to convey its own message.
Yeah, no, I think Denis Villeneuve is a genius.
Did he write this, it?
I don't think he writes most of his movies, okay. If any of them. I don't know. I don't think he wrote this, but I'm pretty sure he doesn't write any of his.
Well, he wrote the books that Dune's based on.
Oh shit, dude! I didn't realize that. those books are great. yeah, I hate to say it, but it just didn't work for me. I didn't get it. I don't understand it. And I was left going, man, that was disappointing. I wish I spent my 2 hours watching something else. But yeah, anyway.
Alex. First of all, I just want to say Stavros shops at my grocery store.
No, that's so cool. You've never actually seen him like in person. Have you like talked to him?
Yeah, I don't talk to him. I'm too scared for that.
Oh,
I've seen him a couple of times. I saw him the other day.
That's so cool. I would be such a fucking nerd. I wouldn't talk to him either. I'd be too nervous.
He's fat guy from Pigtown. Who cares to say hey?
Yeah, but I've been like a big. I was a big.
Yeah, he's shopping. I don't want to like. I'm sure he doesn't get bothered, and I don't want to be the one to bother him.
I'll tell you this for nothing. Dave from De La Soul, RIP, came into the Target in.
Oh shit.
Largo, Maryland, that I worked at.
That's awesome.
He lived in the area. And I saw him, and I embarrassed him very tremendously, because, like, when am I going to get this chance ever again? Like, oh, my God. Yeah. He's like, all right, man.
Well, you met Bray Wyatt. I
didn't ask for a picture, but I did not.
Bray Wyatt, too, right?
That was in Florida, yeah. But this was in Maryland with the dealer. Cool. Yeah. Bray Wyatt was cool as hell, RIP.
Yeah, that's a shame.
Don't meet me at Target, because you'll die young.
It reminds me of that. There's an old interview with Buzz from the Melvins, and because he was friends with Kurt Cobain, and some interviewer asked him about it, and he's like, yeah, we were friends, but that didn't work out for him, did it?
Jesus. Well, I used to work at the Fed Hill store, the one on the other side of the tunnel. We used to have a bunch of the Orioles would come in there.
I'm sure, yeah.
One night after a game when I was working late, Joey Rickard came in to buy ice cream.
Hell yeah.
Shit.
Nice.
I remember Joey Rickard.
I remember Joey Rickard.
Justin Tucker came by and made you watch him jack off.
Hey. Yeah,
I wasn't massaging him.
I remember years and years and years ago, I was in my fucking, I must have been like 22, 23. I was at Max's and Sydney Ponson was there. Do you guys remember fucking Sydney Ponson?
Oh, yeah, I know a girl that worked at the Champs at the airport to fuck them.
The Prince of Aruba.
Yeah, I know she did, because who would brag about that?
Yeah. All right, so I watched six things.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
Watched The Simpsons movie again. The Simpsons movie slaps.
Yep.
That movie came out so long ago, we've almost passed as much time since it came out as occurred before it came out on Simpsons.
Dude, I bought that Blu-ray when I bought PlayStation 3, so like that's how long ago.
But that movie's still a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I remember me and TJ watching the opening episode the next season, like, oh, maybe it's good again. And
nope. Yep.
No, it was not.
We were so hopeful.
I've seen it before. Obviously, The Waterboy. The Waterboy is a funny movie. I like it.
It's kind of like you're in a deposition there for that statement. I don't know what
it is a funny
it's a film that I enjoy.
I rewatched Central Intelligence with The Rock and Kevin Hart. Mm. And that movie is a lot of fun.
That's the one. Is that the one where The Rock was a fat guy in high school and Kevin Hart was like the jock and now they've switched roles? Yep.
Yeah, that movie's a lot of fun.
I remember
fun.
That being fun.
They have great chemistry. They have phenomenal chemistry, the two of them. That's why another reason why that Jumanji movie was so good. I never saw the second.
Second one's good.
The fourth, whatever it would be.
Yeah.
Then three things I had not watched before. Jackass Presents Bad Grandpa.
Oh, that movie's hilarious.
That movie was a lot. It shocked me how much fun it was. It was really funny.
That movie's really good.
And it's the same guy directed, I'm pretty sure, that Eric Andre movie and the Lil Rel movie from a couple of years ago. That's basically the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like a
plot-driven prank movie. I don't remember what Spike
Jonze. Can't remember the title, yeah.
Spike Jonze.
But that movie, that Grandpa was a lot of fun. I was really, really surprised how enjoyable I found it. And the kid in it is fucking hilarious.
Hilarious. Yeah, that movie.
Like, the kid is like probably 7 years old and he's fucking absolutely brilliant. Watched the movie called Shark Attack 2. Which is a
Have you seen Shark Attack 1?
No, are you lost?
Haven't seen 3 either. Well, turns out I was lost, but I didn't know it till I read about it.
Oh my.
Uh oh. So in this movie, it's basically a ripoff of Jaws 3, the second worst Jaws.
Wow.
Like, there's like an ocean amusement park and they capture a great white.
Aim low and still miss.
Right. They do blood work on this killer shark and find out that it's been mutated by somebody. Turns out in the first Shark Attack, this mad scientist mutated these sharks to basically rip off the plot of Deep Blue Sea.
Wow.
And make like big brain sharks so they can get the brain chemicals to cure Alzheimer's or something.
But where did you get brain chemicals?
Look at the big brain on Jaws.
It is strange, eh?
Is he sneaker shoes in?
It's not good. It's supposedly takes place in Cape Town, South Africa. Not a single South African accent in the whole movie.
Thank God.
They should have had Elon Musk in it or Ninja.
They had an Australian guy who was supposed to be the crocodile hunter, but he was basically Crocodile Dundee, not the crocodile hunter. Doing his best Paul Hogan impression. It's on Tubi, I think, or it's on the Roku channel if you want to watch it, but I wouldn't recommend. Even Stacy, as we were watching it, was like, it said it was an hour and a half long. How is this movie still going on? And yeah, it was pretty bad. The last thing I watched is the new K-Hugh Kwan movie, Love Hurts.
Oh, you watched it?
Oh, how's that?
It's a fucking blast.
Oh, thank you.
That's good to hear.
So it's not like art or anything, but it very much reminded me, and it's not really a similar premise, but it reminded me a lot of Upgrade.
Oh, okay.
Like, totally. There's not like cyberpunk and like stuff like that, but it's got incredible action sequences, a good enough story that keeps you like invested.
How's Marshawn Lynch?
He's good. He's perfectly fine for what he does. He's basically just being Marshawn Lynch as like a bad gangster enforcer. I liked it a lot. The action is phenomenal. Like, that dude is tremendous. And it's just so cool. And I mean, he did it in Everything Everywhere All at Once too, but it's so neat. Or like, I guess neat or cool is the word. But like,
video of him working with Hugh Jackman on X-Men 1, like doing stunt choreography stuff.
But I did not. But he seems so like, he's so like soft-spoken and like unassuming. And then you see him just like rocking the shit, like murking people and just absolutely obliterating people. It's really, the movie's good. It's a lot of fun. It's not like gonna like make you think a whole lot, but it's a really fun beat 'em up, pound 'em up.
That's good, because I like when I was leaving the theater today, I saw the poster and said it was out February 7th. I was like, oh shit, that was 10 days ago, and I haven't heard anything about it one way or the other. I was like, I hope it's not terrible.
No, it was a blast. Oh, the guy who directed it was the fight coordinator for Fall Guy, stunt coordinator for Violent Night.
Yeah, it's like that.
Fight choreographer for John Wick, Black Panther, Deadpool 2. Has he directed anything else? This is the only thing. This is his first directorial debut. And it's
an
hour.
It's like Yen Wo Ping, was it?
It's like an hour and 20 minutes long. Hour 23. Fucking perfect. No, his name is Jonathan Esteban. is Eusebio. Eusebio, I guess. I don't know. But he's
That's who Phil Collins was singing about.
Eusebio?
The guy, I think that guy's Filipino.
Dogs liked it. My God.
But it's a lot of, I think you guys at all.
I want to watch it. I need to watch it. Hopefully it'll show up on the internet soon.
You guys would all enjoy it. And it's got Samwise Gamgee in a small role playing back on there. Goonies.
Love him.
But that is it, I think. Yeah, I'll say that's it.
All right. Well, now we got to talk about this stupid-ass movie.
This piece of
no, now we get to talk about it.
We get to. Oh, so no. I actually wrote something because I wanted to.
Nice. Wow, back the old days. Hell yeah.
Yeah, I was like, I had to get my thoughts on paper.
Did you write a book on level with Alexander Dumas?
Old Alex Dumbass.
Real yeah, dumbass think, material.
Yeah,
remember that.
I think I'll give Lexi a run for his money, but we'll see. But yeah, let's see how this goes.
Has anyone here ever read the book?
No.
No.
Books are stupid. We know this. Yeah. This is established.
I feel like The Three Musketeers is like classic literature that I don't think anyone has read. Like,
no. I want to say right on Front Street that, like, normally I hate in movies when they use, like, the country of origin accent and speak English, but I kind of wish they had done it in this because I want to hear Chris O'Donnell take his English or his French accent out for a walk.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Here we go. Three Musketeers, brought to you by Disney. Let's keep that in mind as we go through this film. Movie opens. First of all, to all of our MAGA listeners, this movie is not woke and everyone isn't trans. It's just France in the day.
How the hell do we have any MAGA listeners?
Just in case. Just
if
in
we
case
do, just
here.
Fuck right off. Go listen to something else. Like, fuck you.
And kill yourself while you're at it.
Yeah. Yeah. Please. Yeah.
Yes. Please kill yourself.
Hang out with a whole bunch of your buddies and jump off a bridge together.
But listen to the podcast first. We could use the numbers.
Subscribe to us on YouTube before you die.
Dr. Frankenfurter has murdered the king, and the king's twink son is now in charge. Wadsworth has disbanded the Musketeers, the sworn honor guard of the king, so he can consolidate power under the guise of being a religious leader, and so he can have his own private holy war against corsets. He's supposed to be a cardinal, but I'd say he's more of a titmouse.
You call him Frankenfurter and Wadsworth?
Back to back.
Okay.
Movie the Podcast Hall of Famer, who have yet to see survive a single film, is here. And it's Michael Wincott. And we know this guy constantly and thoroughly fucks. Much like the plot of the film, I think he wandered right off of the Prince of Thieves set into this movie.
He did. Right. They were filming at like the same time.
Pretty boy Chris O'Donnell is D'Artagnan and is dueling a man with too much foundation and even more brothers because he didn't bang his sister. He wants to become
that guy rocks. That's probably my third favorite part of the movie.
You know who that guy is?
No,
who is it? He's, I'm pretty sure, the last Doctor Who before Chris Eccleston came
really?
In.
McGann
or McCann.
No shit.
Well, he's definitely one of the Doctor Who's. I think he was the last one.
Dude, I know it's like a corny, like, you know, look at this mincing, you know, dude. But like every time he showed up and streaked, it did make me laugh. Like it got a reaction out of
me. He's just Paul Bearer-ing the whole time.
That shit was funny. I mean, I know, again, like it's like a joke for an 8-year-old, but it landed.
Yeah, he was the 8th Doctor.
No shit. I had no idea.
Anyway, foundation. D'Artagnan wants to become a musketeer like his daddy, but his daddy done goofed and got the King of France perished. More on this later. Darty Do-Right saves the queen and her lady-in-waiting from their own guards. Then he finds out the musketeers have been doged, so he ends up running afoul of the three guys who didn't take the buyout.
Topical.
Uh-huh, keeping it there. Athos, who is sullen and sinister for a good guy. Porthos, who is somehow both Donatello and Michelangelo, and Aramis, who is just Topper Harley in a wig. And can we commend the stunt casting of making Tiger Blood Warlock Charlie Sheen the most pious member of this triumvirate?
It was fun. Like, he was barely pious, though. Like, that's the
The opening scene was him praying with some lady that was trying to get his dong wet.
Yeah, exactly.
And then he gave in, but the husband came home.
And then he was praying over Rebecca De Hornay. Speaking of which,
but it's like. He's very concerned about, you know, religion and death. And then he's like, God be with you, and stabbing him and throwing off a cliff. It's like when, you know, those beat 'em up games where it's like, okay, this guy is the most religious and this guy is the most horny. And this guy's kind of a balance of the two.
This guy's the mayor of the city and is taking on the Mad Gear gang all by himself.
Shout out to the Mad Gear short film, by the way, where fucking Don Fry plays Mike Hagar. That shit rules.
That shit was really good.
Through various shenanigans, all of the remaining musketeers end up challenging D'Artagnan to a duel. The duel gets broken up by the Cardinal's guards, who's led by a monocular Michael Wincott. And then the murders start. Body count super high for a Walt Disney product. Old Darty gets captured and escapes. And then here's about the plot for the Cardinal to betray the king and align themselves with England by way of boat whore, played by Rebecca De Mornay. Then he gets captured again. The musketeers infiltrate the public hanging, which, can I say, must have been the most ruckus tailgate of ever. Like, that was got to be like Saturday Night Fights on HBO, like when there was a hanging in town, like it was something to do.
Right.
The four musketeers escape in the Cardinal's wagon that was so festooned with gold and velvet it would make a pimp call it gauche. Presumably, much like every vehicle owned by Shug Knight, the car is full of booze, guns, and cash, all which are utilized in the escape. The boys blow up a whole-ass wagon of gunpowder, and Dart gets kissing lessons from these three strange men. Athos lets D'Artagnan know he was once in love with a married woman, or love and married a woman, who turned out to be branded with the Saint's emblem, but she's dead now, so what difference does that make? More on that later. The party is on its way to intercept the boat note, gets pummeled by cannonballs out of nowhere. The party splits, and then just like in the bad blackjack hand, splits again, but Darty gets super sleepy and wakes up naked in a bed with the boat lady. He spills the beans, and she tries to spill his guts, but she doesn't, and then they head to the boat. Upon arrival, her ex and her other exes, their other dead ex's brother, are there with the law, and it's time to serve some French street justice, which means being beheaded at, like, the most beautiful of all vistas. Horny Becky and Dark Sydney make amends. She tells them about the plot to usurp the throne, and then she yeets herself into the sea. Meanwhile, the Cardinal has been training up his own Jacques Wilkes Booth to no-scope the king on his birthday from across the map. I like that one, too.
That was a good one.
The Musky Boys show up and foil the plot. They also lit the fires of Gondor, and all the previously riffed musketeers are back and ready to work. More murder for the mouse. The Cardinal steals away with the king and the queen and gives Charlie Sheen a hot one on the chest, Indiana Jones style, but thanks to his Jesus piece, he just has a broken sternum. Wincott reveals that it was Dart's dead daddy that gave him the old Nick Fury, and he was the one that perforated Papa D'Artagnan. Upon hearing that, O'Donnell channels the rage of his sisters from a league of their own and shish kebabs Wincott. Rest in power, king. Oliver Platt kills the mutant that's in charge of the dungeon. And to be fair, what else is that guy supposed to do? A job's a job. Athos and Porthos get to the underground river to see the Cardinal fleeing with the monarchy when somehow Aramis has bamped himself onto the boat and allows the king to nut up in front of his wife and cold cock old Tommy Curry into the drink.
Nope. Sean has a question. He raised
his hand. Yes, Sean, go ahead.
Hey, I don't want to circle back to something, but is Chris O'Donnell in a league of their own? Is he their brother? I didn't get that.
Oh, he is the sister of what's her name? I can't think of her name. O'Donnell.
I'm so confused.
Comedian.
Yeah.
Chris O'Donnell's. Oh, she's
Rosie in the league of their
own. Rosie O'Donnell.
Rosie O'Donnell. That is his sister.
For real?
Yes.
Really?
No, really?
No goofing.
Yes. No goofing. They are spawned from the same junk.
She was shit that was left over.
Yeah, it's kind of a twin situation, is it not?
It's a real liquid snake, right. Solid snake kind of thing.
If I'm wrong, then I've just been spreading
You didn't look it up. You're wrong.
I'm pretty sure I'm right.
You didn't look it up before it you up.
Just... Hold on. Hold on. If he's not married,
my source is I made it the fuck up.
Are they also then, like, you know, spawned to Neil O'Donnell? Like, is it just all O'Donnell?
It all goes out the window. Okay. I thought they were related. I thought she confirmed it. Well, in my mind, they're still brother and sister. Anyway.
The Musketeers he has a sister named Sally O'Donnell.
Well, then fuck it.
And Lily O'Donnell.
It's his spiritual sister. The Musketeers are now so fucking bad.
I like that you went that far to make a joke that no one understood and then were also wrong on top of it.
But that's it. That's Three Musketeers.
That's the movie. Shit.
It's not good.
Yeah.
And it's like horny and violent.
But like bloodless and cumless. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. It's a real... Yeah.
You know, I know we know slow karate, but slow fencing was not something I had on my fucking cliche list. There is a scene where Oliver Platt is cutting some rope to some drawbridge or whatever, and I can't believe they left this take in there, but it takes like half an hour for him to cut through this rope in one swipe.
It's like, yeah.
I just feel like this reminds me of just, like, this seems like a movie that you would watch on, like, a faculty day at school, because it's like... You know what I mean? It's just kind of there.
Yeah, but like the faculty
sort of based on like, a book.
But they'd have like the faculty couldn't have seen it prior because the movie is like horny. Yeah. Like Tim Curry grabs tit in this movie.
Well, like Tim Curry I can always say it's barely a movie, but it's kind of exactly a movie. You know what I mean? It's like no more, no less. It is that.
It's like
1993 movie.
We've usurped the king's power, and we're going to install a religion. It is literally. The plot of Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Also, not for nothing, am I supposed to be rooting for the monarchy? Like, that's weird.
I think well, so. No. Well, this
was based on the book, and that I get it. But like,
this was 93 when monarchies still had some luster on them. I guess.
No. Go. Sorry,
you're certainly not rooting for the church, like
Alec. Let's see.
My favorite part of the movie was the whole fucking thing.
Oh, I was going to ask if your favorite part of the movie was the hay bales, because there was a lot of hay bales in this movie. It's very
economy. Technically, there were no hay bales. There were lots of rolls of hay.
Oh, fair enough. Fair enough. Sorry.
Roll.
So the whole thing? The whole damn thing? The head to tail? The whole damn thing?
Yep.
Uh-huh.
From the rooter to the tutor.
I love that expression. What the hell is a rooter?
The nose.
The snout.
Huh?
When you go rooting around.
Like it's based on pigs. They're rooting for like truffles. And then they toot at the other end when they fart.
I get the tooting part. I always got the second part I got. The first part I was a little iffy on.
Yeah.
The whole thing. So if you had to pare down to one thing. What would it be if you had to?
Gun probably the acting.
Okay.
Wild.
Wild.
Absolutely wild take.
Like, I don't know if this is just a mean thing.
If I look closer and dig deeper and really think about it, probably just Oliver Platt's acting.
He is because
I love Oliver Platt, and he's the best part of this movie, and he's such a fucking blast. And when he's like kind of unhinged and enjoying himself in movies, there's really not much that compares to it.
He's also kind of, is there a weird trope that I'm unaware of where you have to have a horny gadget sidekick? Because like, isn't that Kevin Kline also in a Wild Wild West?
God, yeah.
Is he
well, he has the gadget because he's a pirate.
That's true.
And he collected them from around the world.
Gotcha.
I know, and he got it from the Queen of America. Like, that shit was kind of funny, but...
Alec, is this a movie... You've seen this before, right? Is this a movie you have, like, nostalgia for from when you were younger?
I definitely have seen it before. I think so, a little bit.
Yeah.
I've definitely seen it before, and it was, I remember enjoying it, and I enjoyed it this time too.
It's also kind of one of those, like, I don't know who the intended audience for this movie is, because, like,
Alec.
Ostensibly, it's
clearly besides Alec. It was Alec.
It's the once in future Alec is the audience, but, like, it's ostensibly right. Like a kid's movie, but it's also, like, weirdly violent, and it's full of, like, and maybe this is just a me thing, but I don't like palace intrigue movies very much, because, like, I'm trying to think of one that's good, and maybe Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy that works just as a movie.
That was the one I was about to say.
But beyond like, that, it's like...
I'm that Dr. Manhattan on the moon, or on the Mars theme. And it's I'm Alec in 1997 watching Three Musketeers. I'm watching
Three Musketeers.
I'm Alec in 2010 watching Three Musketeers, and I love it.
But it's like, you know, it's this kind of like, I guess, swashbuckling adventure, but it does get weighed down with this palace intrigue that doesn't really have time to develop, nor do I really give a fuck.
Yeah, and they like, could have figured out a way to do away with that.
Yeah, it just feels like wholly also, unnecessary.
This movie is a lamer version of The Mummy.
Explain.
Yeah,
like, with like, I mean, not okay. Like, not necessarily plot-wise, but like, spiritually, it's like it's got all the same like kind of fun action that's not necessarily great but very tropey. It's got the horniness, the over-the-top villain, but just the mummy does it all better, and you care more about them because it does it better.
See that.
Also, the cast in The Mummy is way hotter. Like, I know all these guys and gals have been hot at some point in their lives, but Mummy, they were all peak.
Agreed.
Arnold Bosley.
No argument. Mm.
Oded Fair. Mm. That old guy that's not Stanley Tucci, that's the librarian.
Oh, yeah.
I forget his name.
It's not Stanley Tucci. It's like a no Sean Marino situation.
Yeah, it's no Sean Marino.
All right. Well, five knuckle shuffle time, I guess, unless we want to get into anything else. This is going to be wild. Wild, I said.
Weird, wild stuff.
What the hell? Alec.
Oh. Seven.
Jesus Christ.
You know what? That's lower than I thought. I'm going to be honest with you.
I love this movie. I thought it was a blast. Like, I thought it was...
like the Jesus Christ. It's like, sorry. It's like he just like kicked a dog or something. Like, Jesus.
I stepped on a dog earlier, and I wasn't nearly as upset.
It's not like I tried to cancel all foreign aid. I just like the Three Musketeers a lot. Not enough to roast them over a fire. But
yeah, not like you're. It's not like you cracked open a,
me.
It's not like you cracked open a nice, cool Three Musketeers and roasted it over the fire.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the like the poor immigrants. I didn't know you were talking about the candy bar again. You said canceled aid, so I got kind of fucked up. I was like, are they doing that now?
Yeah, probably.
That's next, Sean.
It's a two.
Ooh, higher than I thought.
It's real fucking boring. Like, there's nothing like incompetent about it. It's just like everything feels so slow, and it's kind of like a Hook thing where it's like I appreciate the costumes and they've got real horses, and I know that's a pain in the ass, but like, you know, it's hard. It's so asynchronous when you're watching this like carriage chase, and they cut to the interior of the carriage, and it doesn't look like it's moving at all.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's like, just cut the flag, bro. Like, why are you having the sword fight? And I'm sure some of it's bound by like the book, but who gives a fuck? His books suck anyway. And who read it? Like, I'm not saying that I expect them to make Brotherhood of the Wolf, but they could have kind of made Brotherhood of the Wolf.
Sick. I love that movie.
But this movie made a shitload of money. So what the fuck do I know?
Really?
I just like, it made like three times its budget.
Yeah. It was a big hit.
Yeah, but like I can only remember Porthos because he's kind of fat. That's the only one because it sounds like portly, sort of. Like, I don't know if that's from the book or whatever. But like, I don't know. Like, these, you know, this one, you know, we're Catholic, but this one's like a different sort of Catholic, and you have to defend this boy king who was king when he was 9 years old. And it's just like, I don't fucking care. It's just not for me. Charlie Sheen had a fat face in it, which I didn't appreciate. I don't know why that bothered me, but he looked weird. I don't know, man. Like, I didn't care for the movie. EJ.
Real quick, the thing I remember the most about this movie is that goddamn, it's like Rod Stewart, Bryan Adams, and somebody else that's lame as shit. They play the tune. It's the theme song for the movie, but they don't really play it till the end credits. But they do play the tune of it like a couple of times during the movie. But it's that, oh, one and all for love. I remember that song like vividly. It's a terrible song.
I prefer the Bryan Adams song from Don Juan DeMarco.
Oh, God, have you ever really, really, oh, really yeah. ever loved?
Yeah.
I thought you're talking about the Bryan Adams song from Prince of Thieves.
That's the best song. Oh,
God, that was he did Prince of Thieves too. That's
I don't know why I thought you said the Bryan Adams song from Donnie Darko. Like, I don't know what the fuck I just heard. Sorry. Oh,
Bryan Adams, Rod Stewart, and Sting.
Sting. Oh, God. It's like the triumvirate of just dad rock. Like,
written by Bryan Adams and Mutt Lang.
Mutt Lang. Oh, shit.
He fucked Alanis Morissette.
He did. No. He fucked Shania Twain.
Oh, yeah.
He's a producer.
Better.
He produced all the Def Leppard records in the 80s. He produced Pyromania.
What a colorful life that guy's had.
Yeah, right? And his name is
Shout Mutt. Out to Jeff.
This is a 5 for me, dog. It's a movie I'll completely forget in a week. I had a hard time remembering. I mean, this is really torturous to like delay this week's episode because it was just like, God, what happened? I can hardly remember. I didn't hate anything about it, but I also didn't really care any about it. I really enjoyed the villains in the movie. I love Michael Wilcott. Wilcott, right? Is that his name?
Wincott.
I'm getting hidden confused with John Hillcoat. He's great, though. He's great in the movie, and fucking Tim Curry is just like chewing the scenery, and he's so much fun in the movie.
Menace.
Like, I love him, and he's so like, he's like, I'm a cardinal, but I still want to get my dick wet, and it's just like, I don't know, it's funny. Based. Yeah, it's very funny, and I enjoyed that, and of course, Rebecca De Mornay makes me horny, of course. I remember her a lot from when I was a kid. She's very attractive.
Is that Risky Business? Is that her?
Risky Business is her. That's correct.
Yes, correct.
Yes, queen.
But overall, I mean, I just felt like the movie was just kind of there. I didn't really elicit like a strong response out of me either way. So it stands right in like 5 territory, like dentist waiting office kind of movie for me. Gogs.
Yeah, it's a 4, just because of Tim Curry and Michael Wincott. If they weren't in it, then this, yeah, it's very, it didn't evoke like hatred. It's just kind of like a lot of why are we doing this? And
he directed, same guy directed Bill and Ted apparently. So at least he's done something.
But yeah, it's just Tim Curry's fun. Michael Wincott's fun. Chris O'Donnell, I think I was telling the guys offline, I think he's supposed to be a Tim Chalamet of our generation, and it never really stuck.
Oh, this guy.
Is he good in anything?
No, that's why it never stuck, but he was pretty.
Like, I don't know if like he's good in Scent of a Woman or not. He's just kind of there.
I mean, he's playing, I mean, he's just like, he just has to play the foil too. You know, like, he's just got to be.
Tell me where to turn, Charlie.
He's the white bread that the butter of Al Pacino needs to be spread upon.
Wow, what an analogy there. Jesus. So,
yeah, it's a 4.
This director has a bunch of critters.
Bangers.
Critters. Oh, Bill critters and Ted's rocks. Excellent Adventure. Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead.
Banger.
Oh, nice.
The Mighty Ducks.
Banger.
This.
Mm.
Okay. Mr. Holland's Opus, which I've never seen, but
oh, that's like a white people movie, like boring white people.
He started off with a bunch of bangers.
It's like Dead Poets Society.
Most of its movies I actually recognize, but I haven't seen. Holy Man, Rockstar, Man of the House, the TV sequel to The Cutting Edge.
Oof.
Dope pick.
And that is
so, all right. So real quick, I was just, I'm doing a little record keeping just to keep track of who picked what and what all our connectors are. Who picked this?
Me.
Alec. And who picked flatliners?
TJ.
I did. I don't. And then
And Sean, you picked
don't you have to keep
the dead, right?
Don't you have to keep track of the actor?
Yeah, I did bring out the dead.
All right, I am. I'm trying to keep track of both the link and who picked it. So, who's got a pick for the? I have a pick for next week.
Go ahead.
All right, so I am picking The Hand That Rocks the Cradle because I've never seen it.
Hell yeah, don't you dare!
And
Rebecca De Mornay.
Rebecca De Mornay is the connecting thread there.
All right. I remember this movie when it came out. I never saw it. I was chilled.
The old commercial seemed way too sexy. And I was like, this doesn't seem like anything for me.
Where's the men?
So yeah, The Hand That Rocks the Cradle.
Hey, Ernie Hudson.
Ernie Hudson.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah, and then somebody can pick Penitentiary too.
Oh, but John Delancey.
Who?
John what?
You. You from Star Trek.
Oh, John Delancey. Yeah.
Hell yeah. Also, he's in the... He's the voice of something in the My Little Pony animated stuff, and people love him.
Oh. Hell yeah.
Well, those people are weird that like that show.
I always like Q. I never
the guy wasn't a big Serenity Now guy. This movie's chock full of people.
Serenity Now.
Is it Lloyd Braun in this movie?
Yeah, Lloyd
that's
Braun.
Who he, that's who he just
yeah, that's Serenity Now.
Serenity Now.
Serenity Now. Insanity
Later.
That's one of my favorite episodes. Julianne Moore. Well, there's a lot of people in this movie.
Oh, Julianne Moore's a good one to pick off of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she would send us in varied directions.
All right. Well, next week, The Hand That Rocks the Cradle.
I like this because it's getting us to pick movies that would never have fallen into a theme.
We would have never picked any of these fucking movies. Yeah. Gogs, did you want to promote your OnlyFans?
Huh? Yeah. Come watch me slurp noodles on you know, Gogs's
OnlyFans, Gogs's Dogs's.
The guy who directed The Hand That Rocks the Cradle also directed L.A. Confidential.
No shit.
And 8 Mile.
Wow. The Russell something.
Curtis Hanson.
Oh, sure. What I said.
Yeah. Close.
All right, everybody. That's the show. I need to go eat some noodles myself. I'm very hungry. So.
All right, boys.
All right,
see you guys. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.